Take your Bible, if you will, to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Joy to have each and every one of you here with us tonight. We have a couple all the way from Michigan that is with us tonight, and we're thrilled to have you with us. God bless you. Brother TJ claims Michigan. Anybody else claim Michigan as their home? Oh, yes, that's right. That's Megan, right? I'm still learning all of our teachers there. Megan's from Michigan. Are you around the Detroit area?
I'm from Lansing.
Lansing, okay. Amen. Well, you're not from Lansing. You're from State Line. You're just right over the border there. But my father was raised up in Lansing.
Amen.
And so I got a little bit of Michigan. But he had enough sense to go south where it's warmer. I guess that's it. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32 is one of our text verses. I'm going to read a few verses here and make a few comments. And then I'm going to speak on the subject, confessing Christ before men. I'll not take as long as normal, but then you've heard that before as well. So I won't promise that, but we hope to keep going, and we have a business meeting that will not take long, but we should get out about the same time. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32, Jesus is speaking, and he says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." And in Luke chapter 12 and verse 8, he says almost the identical thing. It's phrased just a little different. But he says, "Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God." So in both of these passages, the Lord Jesus Christ is telling us, his children, his followers, that one of the things he wants from us is to confess him before men. So we're going to be talking about that tonight and seeing what the Word of God can challenge us with. Confessing Christ before men. Let's bow our heads for a quick word of prayer and we'll get right into the message. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all that you've done and what you've been doing even this week, dear Lord, as we're getting excited about preparations for all the activities of 2021. And we've had staff meetings and gearing up and making plans. And Lord, we're expecting you to work mightily in 2021, first of all, in our lives. And secondly, in the life of our congregation, of our church. And then thirdly, throughout this area, Lord, we want to be a vibrant witness throughout this area. We want to see hundreds and hundreds of people come to faith in Christ this year throughout this area through our witness. And Heavenly Father, I pray you'll bless. I pray you'll work it all out so we'll be able to get out there and knock on doors and win people to Christ and see great things happen for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And Lord, that's our prayer. And we pray you'll bless in a very special way. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I failed to mention, Elizabeth, your mother and sister are here as well. And we're so thrilled. And brother, and no, father and your whole family. No, I didn't get to meet the boys. I'm so sorry about that. But we're thrilled to have you here. And God bless you. I met your mother and sister. But the rest of the pew you're related to. Is that right? Okay, good. I'll find out later how you're related to everybody. But if there's anyone else visiting, I'm so sorry if I have not mentioned you. But we're thrilled to have each and every one of you here with us tonight. Confessing Christ before men. You know, as we think about that, a lot of times when we think about confessing the Lord, we're talking about maybe sharing the gospel or talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. I think what Jesus Christ is especially meaning is we need to take ownership of him. In other words, say, I belong to him. We need to let others know that he has ownership of us. Let me put it that way. We don't own him, but he owns us. We are his children. I'm one of his followers. I'm one of his disciples. And we need to make sure others know that. Luke is saying, whoso publicly acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God. In essence, if I paraphrase that, he would say, if you open your mouth and talk about me, I'll open my mouth and talk about you. We want Jesus Christ to confess us in heaven. Now, we know that's going to happen if you place faith in him. But we also see that if we place faith in Jesus, there's some natural consequences that Jesus expects. And one of them is that we confess him before others. One of the things Jesus said is, my sheep hear my voice. So a natural conclusion, if you've placed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know when he's talking to you. And it doesn't mean we always obey, but we know when the Lord Jesus Christ is talking to us. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And that's the expectation of our Savior is, we're not just saying, Lord, I trust you to get me to heaven, and that's all I want to do till I get to heaven. Well, no, it's a little bit more than that. When we trust Christ, we want to follow Christ. And we're seeing in the book of Romans, as we'll look again this Sunday, how we're saved and justified by our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the righteousness of Christ gets accredited to our account. But as a Christian, because of our salvation, we want others to know about Jesus, and we want others to know that we are his children and we've trusted him as our Savior. Another verse I want to share with you is in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Now, this is commonly called the Great Commission, so it's very familiar. Perhaps the vast majority of people here have already memorized the Great Commission. But the Bible says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And that phrase, end of the world, literally means to the end of the ages. Forever and ever and ever. Not just the end of our world till we die, but until there's a new heaven and a new earth and we're with Jesus. Jesus says, I will be with you. But that word lo is an interesting word. Lo, I will be with you. It is connected to the commission. So Jesus is particularly saying that as we confess him before men, as we share the Lord Jesus Christ, that lo, he is with us even until the very end of all things. And then eternity opens up and it's just us and Jesus forever and ever and ever. So lo literally means, or could be said to me, see, do this and see that I will be with you. Lo, I will be with you. Now that's a great promise for all of us. But we need to understand that it's a challenge as well as a promise. And as we face 2021, and we put the vision before everyone last Sunday morning, we see that we have a big job ahead of us as a church. We have goals that we want to accomplish. We have people we want to reach for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how's that going to happen? Well, I know what we could do. We could get a bigger sign. But that's not confessing Christ. That's having a sign confess Christ. I know what we could do. We could, just get on the internet and just project our church more. By the way, we're going to do that. We're going to hit things from every angle we can. But he's not talking about a substitute for one person telling another person about Jesus Christ. Amen. See, the gospel is not y'all come. Or the commission is not y'all come. Good Southern expression. Come on, come on. And we're going to be doing that. Come on, come on. Hey, community, come on. We love you. Come on. But that's not the Great Commission. The Great Commission is go ye. So it's our job to go out beyond the walls of this church, beyond the property, and get out in the community and rub shoulders with people, not literally, but 6 feet apart. We need to talk to people about Jesus. We need to see people coming to faith every single week this year, trusting Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I was talking to the staff yesterday, and we were talking about the plans and where we're going to start soul winning and when we're going to start the bus routes back up and all the different things we have planned and what we're going about. And I said, I don't know about you, fellows. I said, but I have not led personally as few people to Jesus Christ last year since I was a teenager. I've never had a year in ministry. I've never had a year, I believe, since I was 16, where I've seen less people saved personally. Now, I hope people got saved on the internet. I hope people in a service, starting in October we had services, but I hope somebody got saved, but personally one-on-one and witnessing. For 35 years, as I've been the pastor of Grandview Baptist Church, I've always led over 100 people every year. My best year was 440. I've always led over 100 people to Christ every single year, except last year. And I said, fellas, I hate to admit this, but I didn't lead 10. And Brother TJ said, Pastor, I guess we're all in the same boat. We just weren't going out. Now, I don't know if it was my age or if it was our governor, but I wasn't going out. Somewhere between all of that, we stayed home and isolated and did all of that. But I didn't rub shoulders with many people who didn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, except it be on Zoom. I'm just guessing that you've been about that same way. A lot of you teenagers, every year you've had the joy of going out every Wednesday and sharing the gospel. And that's going to start up again. And I know some of you have seen scores and scores every single year that you've been going out, come to faith in Christ. I know that. Many of our teenagers lead more to Christ than I do. I'm glad for that. I'm happy for that. Some of our staff have seen more people come to faith in Christ than I have. And even if I have a good year. And I'm happy for that. It's not a contest. It's let's get all we can. Let's get them all in heaven. I don't say those numbers to think more of me. I say those numbers to tell how poorly my gospel witness was in 2020. This has been, last year was one of the strangest years ever as a Christian who knows that God's mandate is to share our faith and confess Him before men. I just haven't been before men much last year. It's almost amazing to me that we've had people saved and baptized on a fairly regular consistency last year And many times when we couldn't even meet, I don't know how it happened. I don't know how God did that. I don't know how God took care of our church when for months we could not even assemble. But He did. But tonight I want to challenge every one of us personally. Let's get back to confessing Christ before men. Let's get back to personally leading people to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I used to say many times throughout these 36 years as I would preach, I said, now, I enjoy preaching. I love that. And I enjoy leading people to Christ personally. I love that. But if I had to choose between the two, I would lead people to Christ personally. There's no greater joy. There's no greater joy than any sermon you could preach, than any message you could present. There's no greater joy. I've preached in services throughout these years in different countries, and I preached and seen 500 saved at one time. I preached in the Philippines, saw over 1,000 people stand on their feet that trusted Christ as their Savior. Many of our staff have preached services where hundreds came and stood that they've trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. I mean, it's amazing. But it isn't the same as talking to one person. There's just something about it when it's just one-on-one and you get to share the gospel and you get to answer their questions and you get to see that faith light up in them, that they understand and they want Jesus and they trust Jesus. And here's the way I feel personally. Every single time I've led someone to Christ, I walk away and here's what I think. I think this is what I was created for. This is what I was created for. Now, I love preaching, but I've never walked away from preaching saying, this is what I was created. No, this is what I was called to. God called me to this. But I don't feel like that's what I was created for. But sharing the gospel is what I was created for. And by the way, as a believer, that's what you were created for. Maybe in 2021, some of you could lead your first soul to Christ. By the way, you'll never forget that first soul. You'll never forget that first soul you lead to Christ. Maybe some of you could see your first 10. You've led some before. Maybe this year, by God's grace, you could see 10 people come to faith in Christ. By the way, years ago I heard a preacher say, if you can't get you a big one, get you a little one. Amen. Children love to hear about Jesus, and children have an open heart. If I was a member of Grandview Baptist Church and I wanted to see somebody come to faith in Christ, I would jump right into the children's ministry and say, pick me, pick me, pick me. You get in one of our children's church or Sunday school class, that's like fishing in a trout pond. You don't even need bait. You just put the hook in the water and you'll catch one. It's amazing. They come to church and they're hungry and they want to go to heaven and they love Jesus. They just need someone to explain how to trust Him as their Savior, how to invite Him into their life. And they'll do it because they love Jesus. The first time I clearly understood the gospel as a 9-year-old, I wanted Him. I wanted Christ. And that's probably true for many of you. When you were young and you heard Jesus knocking on your heart's door, you wanted to answer. Open up that door. Jesus, come on in. Maybe some of you were older when that took place. But all of us have an opportunity in this year to let God use our life to make a difference eternally in someone else's life. When I lead some boy or girl to Christ, some teenager is a big gap of height from here to here. Some single mom, some man, some woman, some couple. I walk away saying, I just saw their eternity changed forever, right in front of my eyes. It's the greatest thing you'll ever see. Here's someone who was hell bound and knew it. And now they're heaven bound and now they know it. And they're happy about it. Let me challenge all of us in 2021. Let's make sharing the gospel a very common thing. Someone compiled a list of why people do not share the gospel. And they came up with 39 reasons. In fact, they went on Google and they Googled what's the top 10 objections that Christians give for not sharing the gospel. And he compiled them. He didn't come up with 10. He came up with 39 of them. No doubt we could have more. Let me just read some of them to you. And maybe if you're not sharing the gospel, that maybe some of this identifies. Fear of the unknown halts our efforts. You're afraid. Hey, I know what that was. I remember as a teenager, we went out sharing the gospel, and we were always told you pray before you knock on the door. So here's what I'd pray. Lord, help them not to be home. Honestly, that's what I'd pray. I was just so shy. I didn't know all what to say. I knew I was supposed to go. I just didn't know what to say, per se. I mean, if they would stand still, I could quote all the verses. But while I'm quoting them, they would shut the door. I mean, you know, I didn't know how to get them to listen. Fear. Here's how you get over fear. You go with someone else. Two people who are fearful act bold when they go with someone else. I could be afraid. My partner could be afraid, but I'm not going to act like I'm afraid. And my partner's fearful, but he's not going to act like he's afraid. So we're going to act bold. There's a reason why Jesus sent his disciples out two by two. He knew that boldness would come when two Christians got together. I'm not going to say my soul any part. You know what? I'm really afraid today. I'm really timid. And why don't you do all the talking today? Because I just don't want to meet any strangers. They'd look at me like, what? I've never said that, by the way. I never will. Let me just say you gain boldness by going with someone else. Here's the thing about sharing the gospel. It's always better caught than taught. If I ask you, have you ever been in a class where they've shared with you how to share the gospel? Almost any Christian who's been saved very long could say, oh yeah, I've heard that. Have you shared the gospel? Well, no, I mean, I heard that. I know, but have you shared the gospel? Well, I heard how it's supposed to be done. I know, that's not what I'm asking. Have you shared that? Well, no, I haven't. Why? You haven't got over the fear. You only get over the fear because you go. And when you go with someone, you find out they don't slam the door in your face. Now, also, I don't put my foot in the door. Also, if they're not interested, I go to the next door. How do you know they're not interested? Well, when they take the track and say, well, thank you. When they're backing up, that means that's not the person the Holy Spirit's dealing with. How do you know the Holy Spirit's dealing with them? When you say church and you put a track in their hand and they're still standing there. I've been thinking about going to church. I've seen this church. When they're still standing there, that's because the Holy Spirit's working with them. That's how you know. So if they roll their eyeballs, you say, well, God bless you. Have a great day. if they go like, well, I would sure love to have you keep this, and God bless you. Hope you have a wonderful day. We don't say, now don't shut that door because I got to tell you before I go. Please don't do that and tell them you're from Grandview Baptist Church. We're trying to reach people who the Holy Spirit is already dealing with. And when the Holy Spirit of God's dealing with someone, it's hard to mess it up and them not get saved. I've gone with new Christians and they're sharing the gospel, and I'm a Christian and I don't have a clue what they're saying. It doesn't make any sense the way they're going about sharing the gospel. But I've still seen them bow their head and pray in just a few minutes, because when the Holy Spirit of God is working on someone, it's hard to mess it up. Remember Peter and Cornelius? Cornelius was praying and giving alms, and the Bible says your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial. And so God sent an angel, and he said, go to Joppa and go to the Simon the Tanner's house. He lives by the sea, and there is a man named Peter, and he has words you need to hear. And so he sends people, and Peter comes. He had the vision, and now he comes. And Peter starts preaching about Jewish history to these Gentiles. And they're thinking to themselves, I don't know what he's saying. What about Abraham? I don't know anything about Abraham. I don't understand the prophets. Why is he talking about that? We're not Jews. We're Gentiles. But all of a sudden it says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit of God entered right then Cornelius and all his house. They got saved because what they needed to hear was, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And as soon as they heard it in their heart, they said, Jesus, I want to be saved. God, I want to be saved. I want to be saved. And the Holy Spirit came upon him. And Peter's saying, well, wait a minute, I haven't given the invitation yet. How about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch? He's on the chariot, and he's got Isaiah, and he's sharing the gospel. And the eunuch says, well, here's water. Can I get baptized? And Philip says, no, listen, you got the cart before the horse. No, you gotta believe in Jesus before you get baptized. He says, well, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. He said, well, I guess you can then. Let's go. The Holy Spirit of God was dealing with hearts. Let me tell you, around this area, having lived through 2020, how many people you think have an open heart and want God? How many people you think don't have a clue what's going on? When you look at the politics, and I just heard about, I didn't even watch what went on today. But I'm telling you, when you see all the turmoil in this city and in this state and in this country and in this world, there's people who want peace. Guess who the Prince of Peace is? We know him because he's our Savior. I'm just saying, we have a wonderful opportunity to share Jesus. Well, I did read the first one of 39. Let me go very quickly. I don't have this. The fear of man. Bad past experience. Well, I went soul winning one time and somebody cursed me out. Well, yeah, but you can get cursed out not going soul winning. Just go too slow in the fast lane. I won't curse you out, but if you'd write the word, I'd sign it. Don't, Dr. Hiles used to say that. Don't know their language. I don't know their language. And people say that all the time. I can't go there. I don't know Spanish. Well, you don't have to know Spanish. You just learn a few phrases. They know some English. You just have to learn a few Spanish, and you'd be surprised if God's dealing with their heart and they want to be saved, they'll figure it out. I mean, it will work out. Evangelism could cause problems at work. Well, don't stop working and start preaching. I mean, use some common sense, you know, but you can work and say a few words about Jesus. And if you work beside someone, you don't have to give the whole presentation right then. You can talk a little about Jesus and then a day or two, talk a little more about Jesus and a little more. And you can space it out a little. You work with them every day. Evangelism could cause problems. They're bought into political correctness. I don't know what that means. We've gotten over our salvation. That's hard to explain. Don't ever get over that. And don't ever get over your salvation. I'm still excited. We've lost our wonder. I don't know non-Christians. I guess I don't know either. That's why I talk to strangers. Talk with strangers. Most of them are going to be non-Christian. No relationship with unbelievers. Well, you know, say hi to someone you work with. They don't know many non-believers anyway. Well, there again, you got to meet other people. We don't really know how many lost people anyway. People won't listen, much less believe. You find someone the Holy Spirit of God's dealing with, they'll listen. Years ago, I was going with a brother of the man who was the contractor who built this building. And I was going out someone in, and he said, could I go with you? I said, sure. And he said, I've been hoping that we'll see some people saved. I said, we're going to. He said, what? I said, well, we'll see somebody saved tonight. He said, what makes you say that? I said, because we'll stay out till we do. He said, really? I said, yeah. We've had people out at two in the morning still looking. But that was how we were back then, and we were excited about it. And so I said, yes. So we parked the car, and I got on that side, and I knocked on that door. They weren't interested. This door, not interested. This door, not interested. This door, this door, this door, this door. Across the street, not interested, not interested. I knocked on the 18th door. Right across from my car, and three teenagers trusted Christ as their Savior. I said, I went the wrong way. I should have went over here. You'll be surprised when you go soul winning. Sometimes it's the first or second person you talk to that gets saved. But you just look for someone who's willing to listen. Because if they're willing to listen, that's who the Holy Spirit is dealing with. That's how you know it. Don't talk to people who aren't interested. Give them a track and go on. But look to find someone who's still standing. We don't know how many. Let me just hasten. We don't care about non-believers. Well, we should. We've lost our love for our neighbors. Selfish and lack of love for others. Some churches have provided no evangelistic training. The best training is go with someone who leads people to Christ. Hey, by the way, if you go soul winning and you don't see people saved, you need to just change partners. You need to go with someone who sees people saved. Because you got to see it to learn it. So it's not just enough to learn to go. You got to learn to see people saved. So you got to go with a partner who actually sees people saved. You'll learn. They don't know the gospel well. You're lost. Jesus saves. If the two get together, you can go to heaven. I mean, it's pretty simple. You get a sinner to the Savior, and he becomes a saint if he trusts Christ as his Savior. Bad theology. That could be. Bad theology as well. Sharing the gospel is only for a few. That's bad theology. Well, if Jesus wants them saved, he will make sure that they get saved without your help. That's bad theology. Very bad theology. Ignorance, maybe. People don't know what evangelism is. The church quenches their zeal. We have few evangelistic role models. That's true. Pastors aren't taking the lead in evangelism. That's also true. Many years ago, I had a soul winning partner. I started in January, and I said, if you'll go with me every week, There will be a time this year where you will lead more people to Christ than the average pastor leads in a year. He said, no. I said, yeah, you will. I'll see that many. Well, it's not that big. It's really not that big. The average pastor, it's not that big. But yes, you will see more people led to Christ than the average pastor sees in a whole year. He said, I'm in. So he went and went and went. And then he went with me. And I asked somebody if they would like to trust Christ as their Savior. And they said, yes, I would. I said, wonderful. Well, Greg here is going to share with you how you can go to heaven when you die. He looks at me like, he'd been going for weeks. And I said, oh, yeah, it's all on the track right there. So I walk away. He comes back. I said, what happened? She got saved. I said, wonderful. And then I talked to this guy, and he wanted to be saved. I said, wonderful. Greg right here is going to tell you how you can know for sure you go to heaven. That first day led three. We get into June, and it's one of these beautiful summer days in Oregon. It's not real hot. It's just beautiful, and everybody's out. You teenagers love those soul-winning times where there's kids, people, everybody's out. And I just went from person to person, gathered a few people together, asked if they want to be saved. I said, Greg, come over here. They want to be saved. Isn't that amazing? He prayed with 17 people that day. I said, Greg, you've just today prayed with more people than the average pastor prays with in a whole year. More than Pastor Mutchler prayed with in 2020. By the way, I've shared that. Please don't ever repeat that again. That is the last year that's going to happen. I don't want to go through all the verses here, all the different reasons. I do want to try to figure out how to get my screen back to where it needs to be. It's a fun thing. Yeah, Brother Ben. Okay. Hey, Colby, I need your help up here. Let me share three things and we're through. There's three things we need to do as believers. First of all, confess Him. Wherever you are, some way, somehow, let people know you're a Christian. How do you do it? Boy, we had a good time at church Sunday. That sort of says something. What did you do Sunday? Well, after church, we went on a walk, or after church, we had a great meal, or after church, we let people know, confess Him, let people know. Secondly, share Him. Share Jesus Christ to people. Share. I mean, by that, try to win people to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, promote Him. Promote Him. You say, well, I'm really not that good a soul winner. Everybody could lead somebody. Everybody could lead a few. But promote Him. How do you do that? Our tithes and offerings are promoting Jesus. Our tithes and offerings by the buses, by the buildings, by the tracks, send out the missionaries. Our tithes and offerings get Jesus promoted throughout this area. You could do that through Him, tithes and offerings. You do it by your giving. You do it by your living. Your life is a billboard for Jesus, and the world looks at it. Do they want Jesus after they watch you a while? Now, I'm sad to say there's times where I'm not sure I'm that good a billboard. But I work at it. And I want to be. Because I want to promote Jesus in everything I do. And I think that's your heart as well. So in 2021, we have a whole new year ahead of us. Let's try to share Jesus. Let's confess Him before men. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let God speak to your heart. I don't know how the Lord's dealing with you, but I know my heart. I'm ready to start sharing Jesus and seeing people come to faith in Christ. It does as much good for me as it does for people who come to faith in Christ. Not the same good, but it just blesses my soul. It will yours as well. Talk to God about it. Let God use you. Let God do something special. If you're watching online and you're a believer, are you sharing Jesus? Are you willing to do that? If you're watching, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, would you ask Him to save you? Would you let Him know that you believe in Him and you want Him to be your Savior? You can put that in your own words. He'll hear if you'll call. Heavenly Father, I pray you'll bless and use this challenge and this message to help all of us. And Lord, I need it as much as anyone tonight. I want this year to be a year of fruitfulness personally. Lord, I pray that all of us as Christians would hold on to that and want that as well. Whatever that means to every individual Christian, maybe it's seeing one person saved, maybe it's five, maybe it's 10, maybe it's 100, maybe it's more, but whatever that means, Lord, would you use us and would you let us be used of you? We pray in Jesus' name, amen.